forever.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Andrew.
And hey, everybody else.
And welcome to our podcast,
Scary Stories to Tell on the pod.
It is a scary story podcast about scary stories. That's it. Whatever. Yeah, and we're one of those sort of chatty podcasts where the hosts are friends. It's not a very well-researched podcast. It's sort of a loose, fun podcast. It's really good to have on in the background if you plan to sort of leave the room or you're doing chores. Which, you know, there's room. We all need that podcast, and this is good.
It's great.
One of those.
Also, we've been told it's, if you are a coroner or if you are a mortician, it's great if you're attending to a dead body.
Yeah, it's a really great podcast for if one of you is not able to process stimulus anymore.
Anna, it is a Friday.
I've never heard you say that before.
It's a sick new thing we're trying, everybody.
It's perverted, really. And it's because of Forever Dog. And they're all pervs over there. I'll be the first to say. It's like Perv Island. And they had a sick, twisted idea to switch to Wednesday to Friday. And we love it.
We love it. We love ringing the weekend in with you. We hope you've had a lovely work week. And yeah, it's almost the weekend. And here is a scary story to usher that in.
Yes. Oh, it's fun to be scared on a Friday, huh?
We love to be scared on a Friday because that means if you lose any sleep, you can wake up late.
That's true.
Anna, I believe it's my turn to tell a scary story.
It is definitely your turn.
And this one is a true roller coaster ride. It is also one of the few scary stories to have an exclamation point at the end of it, title-wise.
That's so exciting.
And this is from Scary Stories 3 of the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark trilogy. This story, Anna, is called It's Him.
Oh.
The woman was the meanest, most miserable person you could imagine.
Okay, I like her already.
And her husband was just as bad. The only good thing was that they lived in the woods all by themselves and couldn't bother anybody else. One day, they were off somewhere getting firewood, and the woman got so mad at her husband that she grabbed an axe and cut his head off, just like that. And she buried him, nice and neat, and went home. She made herself a cup of tea, and she went out on the porch. She sat there, rocking in her rocking chair, sipping her tea, thinking how glad she was that she had done this awful thing. After a while, she heard an old, empty voice out in the distance, moaning and groaning, and it was saying, "Who's going to stay with me this cold and lonely night? Ooh." "It's him," she thought, and she hollered back, "Stay by yourself, you old goat." But then she heard the voice again, only now it was closer, and it was saying, "Who's going to sit with me this cold and lonely night? Who?" "Only a crazy man," she shouted. "Sit by yourself, you dirty rat." Then she heard the voice even closer, and it was saying, "Who's going to be with me this cold and lonely night? Who?" "Nobody," she sneered. "Be by yourself, you miserable mole." She stood up to go into the house, but now the voice was right behind her, and it was whispering, "Who's going to stay with me this cold and lonely before she could answer back, a big hairy hand came around the corner and grabbed her, and the voice hollered, in parentheses, as you say this next line, grab one of your friends. You are! And that's the end, Anna.
My God. Andrew, this is a mess.
This is why, you know, back then you used to marry just whoever was single in your hometown. This is why you diversify. You go on some dates with people from different places, different points of view.
And here's the thing. If you two mean people can't be together.
That's true.
And a mean person shouldn't be with a nice person either.
That's really true.
So mean people should be, I don't know, figure it out.
Yeah, you just don't have to be mean. I mean, that's a very simple solution.
My God. And this is a murder story. And stories have murders and some don't. Sometimes people die in car accidents or, you know, they just die because they're old. But there are murder stories.
Yeah.
The Haunted House is a murder story with the scary woman. The Little Black Dog. I feel like there's murder in that.
I mean, one might argue such things happen. That man.
I was just thinking about Addie Fitch. Yeah. And the wife said that he was murdering her. But I would say that's self-defense.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. She was casting spells.
She was. And you know what? It was manslaughter. It was vehicular manslaughter that he hit her cat. That was not murder. No jury would convict him of that. Although I don't like that a cat died. So that's points off.
That's true. Anna, are you seeing this illustration?
I can't look at it. I'm too scared.
It is. Okay. The wild thing about the story is that it is in the funny story section. And yet the illustration is the most repulsive, horrific thing I think I've ever seen in my life.
It like looks like an animal, right? A little bit.
It's
like
a big,
it's a head,
floating head.
Yeah, it's awful.
With Stephen Gamble roots, he's got nothing but three teeth in his head. He's got an upturned piggy nose. He's got one big weird ear. He's got a real strange male pattern baldness, and his eyes are pure orbs. One is much larger than the other. This image haunted me, Anna.
It's too scary, Andrew. What are we going to do?
Here's the thing. I think maybe what master illustrator Stephen Gamble was doing here is like, it's so scary that it should be funny. Like the eyes are maybe a gesture towards this being goofy.
Sure. I don't know. This is like hearing it out loud. Again, we've talked about how hearing it out loud changes the stories and that these stories were meant to be read out loud, even though a lot of us sort of read them quietly to ourselves as children.
Right.
But hearing it out loud, I was like, this is one of the scariest stories that I've heard.
Yes.
Like, It is top to bottom a nightmare. Like these two people, let's talk about what's scary about the story. These two people who hate each other, who live in the woods. It feels like a post-apocalyptic world.
Right.
Like it could be in the sort of scary stories. Is it the 1970s or the 1850s? But it also feels like it could be like a Salad Fingers type, like dystopia.
Yes, that is exactly what I was thinking. You're right. Salad Fingers is just what it is.
Just that they're so mean to each other and they live in the middle of nowhere and that she just chopped his head off and no one would find out.
I know.
And it seems like nobody would really miss him if they did. They both sound awful.
I know. Also, to the murder by axe, I think we have this false equivalency in our head that like you can cut off a person's head like you're cutting a cucumber. That's hard work.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Who was it? It was either a real king. Oh, no, it was somebody from Game of Thrones. I get this confused where like my brain is so full of holes from worms eating it that like I can't remember if something's history or if it was Game of Thrones. But it was someone trying to decapitate someone and they're like a shitty jerk who's doing a bad job and then like gave someone like a really bad death. It's like, learn how to do what you're doing if you're going to do it.
Thank you. Someone had to say that about axe murder.
And that's advice that you can apply to sort of anything. But I would say don't kill someone with an axe.
Yeah. I mean, we would say first and foremost, please don't kill anybody. And then also if you're going to, an axe is, it's a blunt, it really is a blunt instrument because you're chopping wood with it. It's very rarely going to be sharp enough.
Oh, is that what it is? Wow.
Well, it's not like blunt, but like, you know what I mean? I don't know that I've ever seen an axe where I'm like, careful, don't touch the blade. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. What else is scary about this? I guess immediately your husband's decapitated body coming back for you, like not even waiting a day.
Yeah. A horny ghost zombie. This also is in the category of story where you're like, is it a ghost? Is it the actual dead body? We don't really know.
Right.
Sort of like best of both worlds. It's horny a little bit.
That's true.
Is what we're supposed to believe. It wants to be held at night.
It's true. It escalates. Who's going to be with me? Who's going to sit with me? And now it's like, who's going to stay with me tonight?
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know you like that. We just broke up.
If we were different sort of people, Anna, I could see in yesteryear, dating app time, us having like that be the intro text, you know, who's going to stay with me this cold and lonely night? Who? And then just like, see what happens there.
Yes. I think that's a great way to sort of bait your line, you know,
to cull through the rabble.
Yes, exactly. You want to find a spooky one.
Another thing that always threw me about this story was the presence of a big hairy hand.
I know. I guess we're supposed to believe that like hairy people are angrier.
Yes.
And which I guess
hairy hands are somehow scarier than a non-hairy hand.
Yeah. Especially when you're a kid.
That's like, true.
The fact that people had hair on their hands as a kid, we were just talking about, I was remembering with my friends, some teacher from ninth grade, and they were like, oh, I remember that he had these hairy knuckles, and I would just look at them and be like, ew, but also on some level be like, I freaking like that. Like discovering that you're straight, because of people's hands. But like, I remember, yeah, just like body hair was just so interesting.
I know. It's so, I mean, the big one in my middle school was, someone would say, you know, the first sign you know you're gay is if there's hair on your knuckles. And then when the person looked, you would say, and the second sign is looking. And God almighty, did I fall for that every time it happened.
And it worked. You're gay now.
And it worked. You know, I found out I was gay through relentless bullying from the far left middle school gay community.
Yeah. And that's, yeah. And they said, oh, thank you. Thanks for letting me know that I'm gay. This will help speed up the process.
This really clears things up. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. I know. That's how I found out I had cancer, was somebody who smashed my hand into my face. Remember? It was, if your palm smells like peanut butter, you have cancer. You sniff your hand and then they hit your hand into your face.
That's a real thing? Like,
you could have just hit me. I think it might also be one of those like gay test things.
Yeah.
But like if your hand's bigger than your face, you're gay. And then you put your hand on your face and they pop you in the face.
Oh, it's didn't know this.
Just hit me. What are we doing here?
It's so interesting how also like I'm looking back and I feel like a lot of the gay tests back then were, there was a very significant already out gay community at my middle school. It was a middle school for the arts.
Oh,
and
wow.
So more than anything, it was sort of like, I wish I knew I was gay earlier, because there were a lot of really cool gay kids. And it was kind of like, that was like an edgy, neat thing.
Amazing. God, you missed your exit.
Yeah. One of the kids who did the morning announcements, he was gay. And everyone was like, you know, he has a boyfriend.
Ugh. Icon.
It was
How's
wild.
He doing now? Is he doing good?
I think he's okay. I think he That's was also, great. He was someone who got a nose ring very early, and that was like, people were really flipping out.
God, of course. What an event.
Yeah.
An event for everybody. What else is scary about this to me is the idea of a woman chopping his head off and you can just hear the silence after, like how quiet it gets. And also that she dug a hole and buried him and no one would know. And it said nice and neat. The description of that, the grave, just scared me.
It is scary. Also, her going home and immediately making some tea and thinking back on how happy she is about making this decision.
Yes. Oh my God. Is that how it says that she thinks about how happy she is?
Yeah. She's like so proud of this thing that she's done.
Oh my God. And then something I want to talk about is the insults.
Oh yeah, please.
Okay, so the first one is what?
The first one is stay by yourself, you old goat.
Old goat. Okay, cool. Yeah. This is a great start off place. We're picturing a hairy guy because of the end.
Yep.
Old goat, a mean guy. That makes sense. What's the next one?
We're then going to you dirty rat. Another vermin.
Dirty rat is a step up. Mm-hmm. That's a meaner thing to say.
Yes. Yeah. Goats have use. They give milk, you know. They can climb mountains. Rats are also smart, but plague spreaders. And so
vectors,
you know,
of disease, unfortunately. Yeah. Very smart. Affectionate, you know.
Affectionate, but, yeah.
You know, when it comes to insults, it's not great.
Then, Anna, we end on you miserable mole, which is a mean one.
Miserable mole to me felt like a dehyden.
Oh, interesting.
But it is the funniest, most specific. It's a rarer insult, so it does read as like more personal.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, there's something about miserable mole. I think miserable mole cut like hits harder for me because it implies that maybe he didn't have great eyesight and that maybe he was kind of it makes him sound nerdy.
Yeah, we can read it as a personalized insult if he is sort of a bookish person.
Right, right.
Wow, yeah, that makes sense. It's not as like a high energy, crazy, like it's not a show-stopping insult.
Yeah.
But it feels like a low blow.
That's true.
You're right.
That's really
true. No, you're right. I've come all the way around. This is the worst insult. Miserable mole. Also, like, I forget who talks about this, but like saying that somebody is unhappy. Oh, I think it was Julie Klausner tweeted about like saying that somebody, or on her podcast, was talking about how saying that somebody seems miserable is like one of the meanest things you can say about somebody.
That's
like,
true.
She's just so unhappy. You can tell. Like, is one of the meanest things you can say. And that, like, how weird that is, but like, it's true. Like, that's when you really want to insult somebody, you can say like, well, they're not even happy. And you know that they're not.
Wow. That is true. I am realizing like that is probably the most, that is the most like cutting thing, because everything about that person's existence, they're not satisfied. And that's mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're not even happy with being bad.
Now, what are we thinking in terms of casting, Anna?
God, this could go every way. Catherine Hahn, obviously.
Wow, yeah.
Miserable goat. I think that you should play her, honestly. I think the way that you were delivering those lines was really satisfying.
I was certainly channeling kind of a Phyllis Diller type.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's really good.
And so that kind of brassy over it.
Oh, yeah, like an Elaine Stritch I can hear, too.
Wow, Elaine Stritch is a great... Yeah, like, if this were, like, Elaine Stritch and... who's the guy from Law & Order who is the voice of Lumiere?
God, I don't know.
You know who I mean? Jerry Orbach. There was always
Oh, God. I didn't know he was Lumiere. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
And he there were those ads on the subway when we were in college that were like, some actors give it all on stage... Jerry Orbach gave his eyes, which is like, oh, and it was about donating your organs.
Yeah, he donated his corneas.
Yeah.
And like, I was just going to say, when you said that he voiced Lumiere, it made me think about Lumiere's eyes differently. I was like, oh, those are a corpse's eyes, which is not how it works. It's not that you got your eyes from a corpse in your life and that applies to the cartoons you voiced. That's simply not true.
Yeah, I like this a lot. I love old sort of Broadway standard like icons playing these roles.
That's great. Yeah, for the man. I also the drawing looks a little bit like John C. Reilly, who's somebody that we cast a lot.
Oh yeah. That's true.
Yeah. I could see that.
Maybe Patti LuPone.
Oh wow. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, we're going with icons.
Yeah.
Because it lends itself to music, I feel. This could be a song, sort of back and
forth. Yes. Yeah. Definitely a duet where like each half of the song is a different song.
Yes, totally.
Like two characters singing two different songs. I definitely am picturing like Samuel L. Jackson and Black Snake Moan as the man.
Oh.
<it's, laughs> His outfit. I could see him and Christina Ricci playing these parts.
I love
gathering
that.
Firewood, and she's in her Confederate flag t-shirt and
that
the fucking chain around her neck.
Insane. It was a real film that came out.
And SNL did a parody sketch called White Possum Scream.
Right.
With Rain Wilson on it, yes. Which is so funny. And then it was a full 7-minute sketch, which is unbelievable. It's really good.
I like this casting very much.
I do too.
Another thing that occurs to me just with this story is, so it's a jump scare.
Yes.
But I feel like maybe the reason, I mean, as we've said, these insults are probably the reason why this is in the comedy section, because there's something very satisfying about decreasing the tension of the moment with insulting the scary thing.
Yes. Good point.
Which I do like. I mean, but then the twist is that she does end up getting snatched up by the dead body. But I do think it allowing kids the opportunity to laugh in a scary story is a great gift.
Yeah, that's true. Feeling scared and then laughing is good. It's helpful.
I know. We love it.
And I will say that I think being scared and laughing are very similar things.
Oh, totally. It's primal panic.
It's like juicing your adrenaline and like making you laugh and making you scared. It's like a sudden, like a, it builds up to something that pays off. It's very similar. And also it, like if you're an adrenaline junkie of any kind, like feeling scared is important. Mm-hmm. And like, it's all about entertaining yourself.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think it's like, it's why this podcast makes sense. Spooky and funny fit together quite nicely.
They go together like puzzle and puzzle.
Speaking of which, Anna, I feel like it's time for our segment about did something spooky happen to you this week?
Yes. What could be spooky? Do you have something?
Okay, so mine is a medical related spooky that turned out to be fine.
Oh, no.
But I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I went to my yearly skin checkup. Listen, everybody, you got to go to the dermatologist if you can get that skin checkup. If you don't have insurance, you can usually do it they can usually negotiate down to a pretty reasonable rate. You got to catch skin cancers early. It's important. And I went and got some spots biopsied that my dermatologist was like, these are a little concerning. And I was like, okay, I'm prepping myself. So I waited 2 weeks. I get a call on Friday, like right at the end of work. And the most nervous person in the world is on the other end of the line and is like, hi, I'm calling from the dermatologist's office. Is Mr. Farmer there? And I was like, yes. And then the voice was like, first of all, how are you today? And I was like, oh, there's a bomb in my body, I guess. And I have 8 minutes to live.
Oh my God.
I'm fine. And she was like, oh, good. Okay. And she gave the hardest swallow I've ever heard on the phone. And she goes, I'm just calling about your biopsy results. And so the first one is all clear. It's non-cancerous. It's fine. Long pause. I'm like, okay, here it comes. She's like, and the second one, well, it's a little abnormal. And I'm like, okay. She goes, and it's not cancerous, so everything's fine. And we'll see you again in 6 months. And I was like, what on earth? And then, Anna, the phone ended with, and just can I get you to say that it's okay that this call is recorded for training purposes, I'm in training. And I was like, not this poor medical professional this must be the most stressful thing in the world to call and practice giving people their biopsy results.
Oh my God, Andrew, so I'm much more like the woman in the story than you are in the scary story than you are, is what I've learned, that you are a wonderful angel cherub, because my first thought was this person should not be any kind of health provider. It is completely inappropriate. And whoever is training her is doing that job. That is so, like, I was like, this person is a sadist. They're doing this on purpose.
It was a really wild experience,
that's so, I'm so sorry. I'm so glad everything's fine, but oh my God, that makes me so, ugh.
It's okay. I mean, I guess, and it's funny because I then told Chris this story, and Chris used to work at the Apple store, and he said, oh, that's how I would be on the phone. Like, talking to customers on the phone is the most stressful thing in the world. But if I was giving results as to whether or not they had skin cancer or not, that would be even more stressful.
Oh my God. But it's also like when you're training, like my dad, not to brag, but my dad's a pharmacist. Sorry. Charmed life. Everything's going well. My dad's a pharmacist. Yeah, I guess you could just say I'm that bitch. He teaches a pharmacy lab, and like part of it is training them of how to like talk to people. Cause a lot of these people are like STEM weirdos who are perfect with math and science, and like the soft skills are
right.
less developed because they've just been in a damn library studying chemical compounds for 5 years. But so like there has to be more guidance with that. But I will say my answer to yours will be, this wasn't something recently. This is from a couple months ago.
Oh boy.
And it was so messed up that I was like, I can't even think about this. Like, it was so messed up that I was like, I can't even complain about this that much. And I love complaining. But like, so we have to get COVID tested all the time, every day. Mm-hmm. And this was back in like November or something, where it was like, I can't believe we haven't been shut down yet. I can't believe I'm doing this. This is like, there's a plague happening and we are doing television. It seemed like the world ended and we're still making comedy for no one, for network television. But okay, if this is how I die, then I absolutely am happy to. And we get rapid tested every day, and this woman I'd never seen before called me up. And she said, hi, what's your Anna? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, okay, date of birth. And I said my date of birth. And she said, okay, I have to tell you. And as she's doing this, I'm thinking of anybody that I was like near, and we wear masks, and like, I'm very like, everyone's pretty like, I violate any of the terms, like, but I was still like, I am going to knock out a department, like, because you really don't know what's going to like contact trace out, like people near you, whatever. And I was like, I'm going to end the show. This is going to like, people are going to die, because there are a lot of people over the age of 50,
right?
You know, or like, you know, not that like, but it's people that like, I'm just thinking of all the people that I've killed as she's doing this. Ooh. And that it's going to be my fault, and that it's going to be really embarrassing, and it's going to be something that I'm going to have to live with the guilt of for the rest of my life. So I've already killed 50 people as she's doing this. And she said that your results are negative. Oh my God. Sorry. I couldn't resist. You look so nervous. That's why I did that.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, well, you're on the funny. You like, basically it was like, you're on the comedy show. So like, I was being funny, and like, I'm a very non-confrontational person.
Yes.
But out of my mouth, I just said, oh, don't do that.
Oh, like, of course.
Please don't do that. And I kind of looked at the person who was there with her, who I recognized from before, and they looked like kind of grossed out at just being like, how did this occur? And I was stunned, and I just took the thing and walked away. And I was so relieved that I didn't have it. Cause it's like, this is around the time where we were learning about like long haul COVID,
right,
and like that, oh, it can change your brain forever. Like, we didn't know what was going on.
Right.
And it was so disgusting that she did that.
That's
like, I was like, should I like file a complaint about this person? But it was like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to, like, I'm sure that she's in trouble anyway because someone just saw it, and I'm sure like she's worried about being in trouble and won't do it again because it seemed like I was upset.
Yeah.
And like, I just feel like by the time you're lodging a complaint, it's like, I don't know. But,
I know.
But then I don't think I've seen her back there. So I don't know.
I will just like, if there's anything that can be taken away from this, it's that never, when it comes to like medical information, it's just best not to. Don't prank about that. It's not good
yes.
for pranks.
No, and every other result I've gotten has been extremely straightforward.
Yes.
And like, they understand that you're waiting to find out that you've killed 20 people. Like, so very quick and very clear. So yeah, I'm very sorry that you had to experience that.
Oh, it's okay. I'm grateful that it's over. It was the fact that she was actually nervous. I was like, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah, it was that she was nervous to talk to people on the phone because guess what? Zoomers don't talk on the phone.
Wow, and we said it.
And we said it. We're freaking Chuggy. Whatever, it's fine.
Oh man, the revelation of Chuggy this week.
Chuggy. Finding out about Chuggy last week is Chuggy, and I'm happy to be part of it. My friend Kim Ferguson texted her 5-year-old niece, "Am I Chuggy?" And she responded, "Yes." Oh. And then she said, "Could you ask your older sister?" And she said, "I don't know.
My older sister's Chuggy.
Chuggy is so freaking Chuggy.
Chuggy feels like the Zoomer version of Grib. And I feel like maybe if I was on TikTok, I could get Grib started.
Grib is Chuggy.
Yeah.
Like not the concept, but the Grib.
Ultimately, Grib. Yeah. Oh, I also want to say this is in this week's segment of I Was Wrong, okay? A Scottish listener, Anna, reached out on Twitter to say that there are significant parts of Scotland that are not so spooky and are often quite sunny. And so it's good to know
this
that.
This is Scottish Nuance Corner.
Yes.
But I have to say, Scotland is one of the rainiest countries in the world.
It is, but it is good to know that there are.
Take the note. Be less rainy. It's not my fault.
I'm mostly delighted to have a Scottish listener. It really
is.
Oh,
it's exciting.
It's a real delight.
The people are listening with an accent.
We're big fans of Scots here. And also, if you'd like to follow us on Instagram or Twitter, you can. We're at @scarystory_pod.
And you can buy merch from us.
You sure can.
If you want, which you should. You should want that.
And of course, transcripts for this episode and several of the previous episodes and all upcoming episodes are available at the Forever Dog Podcast website.
Yeah. And you should leave a 5-star review and rating on iTunes or wherever the hell you do it.
Oh, we'd love that.
Okay.
And another thing that I didn't realize, everyone like podcaster was like, and please subscribe because it makes a difference. I feel like I subscribe to so few podcasts, but apparently it does make a difference. So if maybe you listen to this podcast and you haven't subscribed, do that and we would appreciate it.
Oh my God. I love subscribing. You got to do this.
We love it.
And something else you got to do?
Get out. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod is executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Produced by Tracy Soren. Original theme music by Chris Ryan. Cover art by Bats Langley. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @ForeverDogTeam to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.